Lord, open our hearts and minds. It is the power of your Holy Spirit that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 836 in your Pew Bible or page 258 in the Story Bible. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come down and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
To be seated, and any of the children here who want to come forward and join us, please do. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens, because I have a few little things I want to show you this morning. Good to see you today. Come on up. I'm seeing some Valentine's pinks and reds, and glad to see everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, how many of you have ever seen a candle before? Yeah? If you haven't, there's one right there, and there's one right there, and there's a big one right there. And that big candle is called the Christ candle, and we light it to remind us of the love and light of Christ that is always shining. And so I just love candles, and I wanted to show you some candles that I have. This is the first one. This one's really colorful and pretty and smooth. And, you know, you take a match and you light it, and it shines the light into a dark room. So it works. Here's another candle from my house. It's very old. Look, it's kind of sooty and dirty in there. And it's got a hole that got burned in it. But, you know, it still works. You light it. And it lights up a room, and you can even see an extra light through that little window. So it's kind of cool. And let's see, I've got a short, squat one that I've actually never used before, but it's ready to go. So if we were to light it, it would shine the light and light up the room. And I got two more. This one was from my Advent candle this year. So maybe some of you had candles like this. And it's tall and skinny and blue. But if you light it, it'll light up the room. And then finally, look how small it is. Do you know what this is?
A birthday candle.
It's a birthday candle. It goes on a cake. It's teeny tiny, but if you light it, it will light up a room. So what this makes me think about is that no matter the size or shape or age of a candle, it all carries the flame and can light a room. And that's kind of like us, you know. We come in all shapes and sizes. We got brand new ones and folks who are older like me and all different shapes and colors and sizes. But all of us carry the love of God in our hearts like a warm light. And every single candle and every single person can carry the light of Christ. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your love that shines in our hearts like light. And no matter who we are or what we look like, you can work through us to share your light with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. Did you have something?
I used a birthday candle yesterday because I have a big birthday party.
You had a birthday candle yesterday with a birthday party. How fun. Well, happy birthday. All right, well, if you've had a birthday so that you are 3, 4, or 5, or if you're in kindergarten, you can go to Children's Church with Mr. Hampton and I think Pastor Maggie over there.
Can you go to Children's Church?
Do you know? Well, today we hear the story of Simon Peter and his journey from failure to fisher of people. This is one of those vivid stories in the Gospels that really invites us in to inhabit the story, to enter into it with our imaginations, and maybe even put ourselves in the place of Simon in this story. So, if you're willing to be a little childlike with me and use our imaginations together, I want to invite you to come into this story with me in your imaginations and imagine that you are Simon. So, Simon was a fisherman. He and his brother Andrew had a boat. They had business partners, James and John. And when the story opens, they had been up all night long fishing. And they had caught nothing. Zero. All night long, for hours, they were casting their nets into the Sea of Galilee, dragging them back up, only to find them empty. Casting their nets, dragging them back up. Casting their nets, dragging them back up. Their arms are sore, their legs are sore, their feet hurt from gripping the bottom of the boat, and they have nothing to show for all of their labors. And so when the night's over, they pull their boats up onto the shore and start cleaning their nets. And that's a sign, if you're a fisherman, you're done. It's over. No more trying. I can imagine how Simon must have felt sitting on the ground with his net, just wiping off every part of that rope. The frustration, the failure, the fear, and the worry. This was his livelihood. He was perhaps relied upon to provide for people and his family. And to have a night like that as a fisherman must have been incredibly discouraging. I imagine there was that voice in his head saying to him, "Just give it up, Simon. Just give up." So we sit there with Simon, washing the nets. And I can't help but wonder if you've had that feeling, if you've heard that voice in your life. You've done everything you can do. It's not working. Just give up. Just give up. It's over. I know I've heard that voice. Maybe it's something you've been working on in your life, some goal you're trying to achieve, and you just can't get there. Or you've been looking for just the right job and you just can't find it, or looking for that person to accompany in your life and you can't find that person, you just keep being disappointed. Or maybe you've devoted your life, your ministry, your energy to making the world better on a particular social issue or whatever it may be, and you just keep hitting a brick wall. I think about all the folks in our city who've been advocating for safer gun laws and going down to the legislature, and it just seems like nothing is happening, and you just want to say, what's the point? Maybe you've heard that voice in your life, in your ministry. If so, you can really put yourself in Simon's shoes in this story. There he is in his failure and despair. But then Jesus comes on the scene. And he's got a bunch of people following him. He's got a reputation now, and there are all these people who Luke tells us are leaning in, hungry to hear the word of God. And so Jesus goes to Simon and says, "Hey, can I use your boat? Would you mind if I sat down in your boat and took off a little bit from the shore? Because, you know, the water helps my voice echo and people can hear me better, and I'd like to teach from there if I could. And Simon's probably thinking, well, why not? You know, I got nothing to lose. I'm just over here cleaning my nets. And so Jesus begins to teach. And I wish Luke told us what Jesus was talking about. We don't know what stories he told or what sermon he was giving, but I have to wonder if Simon was listening. Even as he was cleaning his net in all of his frustration and despair, I wonder if the voice of Jesus was carrying over the waters into his head and into his heart. Jesus finishes teaching and dismisses the crowd, and then turns to Simon and says, let's go fish some more. Let's go out to the deeper waters and drop your nets again. And I can't help but I had this funny thought when I came across that. It's like when I worked at Baskin Robbins, my first job when I was 15 years old. It's like 10 till 11, the store closes at 11. I've already cleaned the milkshake machine. And then someone comes and is like, can I have a milkshake? No. Oh. Simon has already cleaned his nets. He's already given up. He's ready to just put it away and go home. And here Jesus says, let's give it another try. And at first, Simon's like, Jesus, Master, we have worked all night. We've given it the old college try. We've done everything we know how to do, and we caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, we'll go out again. What made Simon change his mind? I wonder if it's something he heard in Jesus' voice as he was cleaning his net, or maybe it was just standing in the presence of Jesus, looking him eye to eye. Something in Simon wakes up. Something in him has a glimmer of hope, a glimmer that something might be possible. And so they go back out, and they drop their nets in the deep waters, and you know what happens. They started catching so many fish, they had to call James and John to bring their boat, and both of the boats were so filled with fish that they almost sank. It's almost a comic moment in the Gospels, and I can see Jesus just laughing with joy at their faces and at their scrambling. Because he's been able to give them this sign of God's abundance and God's grace and God's power. And you would think in this moment that Simon would be overwhelmed with joy and gratitude, recognizing Jesus' power, and that he would say, sign me up, Jesus. Wherever you're going, I'm going. But that's not what he says. I think he realizes there's something about Jesus, that this is the divine presence in the boat with him, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and he doesn't feel worthy. He falls to his knees and says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. It's that voice that crops up again. I'm a failure. I can't be part of this. I'm not enough. I'm not what you need. I have such a long history with sin and failure, and surely you don't mean this for me. Just leave me alone and go on your way, because I am not worthy. And I wonder if that voice is in us too. I know it's in me. As we stand in this moment as the people of God, and I recognize all of the work that needs to be done and all of the things that are called upon of the people of God to live into this moment faithfully, I just feel like I can't do this. I'm not enough. I'm not trained for all of this. I just call somebody else, God. Who are we as one little church in Nashville? And you may feel that way too. In whatever ways you feel God might be calling you and inviting you to go out into deeper waters, like, no, you don't know my history. You don't know all the things I've done. Well, you do, but obviously you've looked over them. Well, how can you possibly use me, God? I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Well, if you felt that way, you're in a long line of others, right behind Simon, who's right behind all of these other figures in the scriptures whom God calls. Every single person I can think of that God calls in the scriptures says to God, "No, thank you. I'm not the one you want. I'm not good enough." Abraham and Sarah said, "We are too old." Moses said, "I can't speak well. I can't lead these people." Elijah said, "I'm exhausted. Just kill me now." Isaiah said, I'm a sinner. Jeremiah said, "I'm too young." Mary said, "I'm just a virgin." They all tried to argue with God. They all tried to make their case about how they were not worthy vessels to live out God's purposes in the world, and God chose them anyway. And God worked wonders through them just as they were. And we see the same thing happening between Peter and Simon. "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And Jesus says in response, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." It's not even a question. It's not even an invitation. "From now on, will you fish with me for people?" No, it's a proclamation. "From now on, you're with me, and we're fishing for people." Do not be afraid. Do not listen to those other voices telling you you're a failure, telling you you're not good enough, telling you to give up, telling you that the problems, the mission is too big. I understand your fear, but don't give into it. Don't give in to fear. We have work to do, Jesus says. We know what Jesus' mission is. He announced it in the previous chapter. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to liberate the oppressed, to set the captives free, to bring sight, to announce the year of the Lord's favor." This is a huge mission that Jesus is on. And it's as if Jesus is saying to Simon, "We don't have time for your fear. We don't have time for your self-doubt. We don't have time for all of this, Simon. We've got work to do, and I need you, and I'm with you. From now on, you're with me." And that was enough for Peter. Well, he became Peter shortly thereafter. Luke tells us that he and Andrew and James and John all dropped their nets, left everything, and followed Jesus. And they were not ready. They were not prepared for what they would experience over the next few years. They certainly weren't prepared for Jesus' trial and death. Peter continued to make mistakes and doubt and stumble, but he learned along the way. Jesus continued to be with him and teach him and forgive him and shape him and call him. And so I wonder if we might do the same. What is the net that you're holding on to this morning? Are you holding on to shame, unworthiness, failure, sin? Are you holding on to fear? So afraid of the magnitude of the need in our world and your inadequacy to meet it. What is the net that you're holding on to? Well, the invitation in this story is to follow the example of Simon and allow the voice of Jesus to begin to open up within us hope and to hear his invitation to let go of our fear and to follow him, trusting that he will give us what we need. It's not about our capacity or abilities. It's all about trusting that he is with us and will give us exactly what we need to shine the abundant, bright, beautiful light of his love and grace into our world so that God can continue changing the world and changing us. May it be so.